everyone, and thank you for the warm welcome. As they noted, I have been in your world. I spent a few years working for the Screen Actors Guild, and there are many friendly faces out here, people that I have known professionally and personally. And but right now, I want to. Is there a prize for the networking? Because I am set up to succeed right now. Candy, well. Well, wait a minute. I'm getting on an airplane after this, so I'll get free drinks anyway. Anyway, it's very nice to see all of you. And I'm going to talk a bit about IT competencies. And to do that, you know, I want to set a few ground rules. The first ground rule is I absolutely love to be interrupted, just not by men in a meeting. So if you would like to comment or tell a story or relate an experience, there's plenty of time and space to have a conversation. So let's make it as unstiff as possible. You know, I don't know about you guys, but very often when I go to technology events, it seems like the women don't take the opportunities to speak up and ask the questions. And very often I find when I'm in a women's event, we are a lot freer to do that. So I want to make sure that joy, that willingness to engage is there for you today. Okay, so call me on stuff if you disagree, you know, and raise your hand or jump up or whatever. So let's see if my clicker works. Well, there you go. Will this one work if that one doesn't? Okay. Thanks.
I have a little Logitech we can use.
Story of life. It's all about the batteries, isn't it? Anyway, maybe about the computer. All right. Okay. We'll have a lag, I guess. What shows up there is a screen behind, but I can cope. So I wanted to talk a little bit about skills and competencies because this presentation is, in fact, around competencies. And so I wanted to make sure that we're clear on what we're talking about. Now it's going like crazy. There we go. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So if you see, I have a chef using knife, and he has mad knife skills, and a chef doing presentation, and that's sort of, if you can imagine, the difference between a skill and a competency. It's what you do versus how you do it. So when I was cutting these pictures out and putting them up, I was reminded of my dear son-in-law. My daughter and her husband live in Brooklyn, New York, and so like all good hipsters, they, you know, go to the local kitchen store to have cooking classes. And of course, there was a time when knife skills class was really all the rage, right? And so they go to knife skills class, and my son-in-law literally almost dismembered himself. He cut himself so badly, he had to go to the emergency room. And of course, when you're in Brooklyn, you don't have a car, so of course he had to go by ambulance and everything else. Well, as you can imagine, this was a rather big to-do at the Brooklyn kitchen. And so as he's sort of trying to get himself through this, he says to the guy, "This happens a lot, right?" The guy goes, "No, not really." So every time I see somebody with knife skills, I think of dear Andy and think about I never let him in my kitchen, ever. So the idea, though, here is the what versus the how, right? And I think, hopefully I know how to make this work.
Little?
The big green button.
The big green button. Subtle. So as we might think about it in information technology, A skill could be Java or Python or something like that. But the competency is going to be learning agility, right? It's the fact that you are able to develop skill in Java and then transition your skills to Python because you have learning agility. And that's what we mean when we talk about the competencies. So these are the things that we want to focus on, and the reason is the world is changing fast. This and by the way, you'll all be provided this deck afterwards, and this document here, you can actually click through and see the real document, but it's like got thousands of IT skills. Well, I'm sorry. You know, you're not going to be expert in thousands of IT skills. What you're going to do is cycle through lots and lots of different skills and talents as you go through your career. I'll ask the question, and there are people of various ages. I'm probably at the top of the totem pole there, but there are people of various ages in the group, and let me ask you, are you doing the same job you did when you started your professional career? Yeah. So that's why competencies matter, because that's what's going to take you to your next role with success. So when we think about technology skills these days, we think about sort of three big buckets. And if I go like wild with my hands, because I used to live in Italy and I learned a lot of bad habits, and you can't hear me, just say, Aaron, back to the mic. We create technology, we manipulate technology, and we exploit technology. And so we think about these three different categories of roles that our skills and so on exist in. And I'll give you some examples. So if you think about what does it mean to create technology? Well, that's working at the bare metal level. You know, you're managing storage, you're managing hardware. You could be designing software solutions. You could be building networks. But these are all basically, we're building this stuff, right? And I gave an example of like cloud storage. Now, if you think about, back when I was a youngster, managing hardware meant servers in your data center. Now managing hardware means managing your engagement with the cloud, right? So big transition, but it's still creating technology. Manipulating technology. This is coding. This is testing. This is troubleshooting. This is managing projects. These are all the things that you do with the technology in order to build something useful. And then finally, exploiting the technology. So when we talk about exploiting technology, we're talking about using it. Now, you could use it as a technologist, or you could use it in the business. But exploiting the technology means taking what's been created and what's been manipulated and putting it into practice. So data science is a great example of a kind of technology exploitation that I think we still feel very much lives in the world of IT. And that's what I think you need to not worry about. IT exploits technology all the time. And the further and further we go into the world of cloud, into the world of SaaS, et cetera, the more that the jobs are really about technology exploitation. In fact, if you look at this chart, you'll see there's been significant growth in technology skills demands, right? All of it's in that blue box. And that blue box is exploiting technology. So what that means is the growth opportunities are in technology exploitation. And that means very often you've got a foot in the business and a foot in IT. So you are now becoming more and more focused on being users of technology than ever before, even as very highly skilled technologists. And versatility. So when you talk to CIOs and other IT leaders, more and more they're looking for people who can play in more than one space. So they want somebody that can be, for example, very smart around network engineering, but also has a deep policy understanding in the world of information security. Or you have people who are data analysts that are turning into AI technologists because of their deep understanding of data. So more and more, flexibility is an important characteristic of the successful technologist. And these numbers speak to that as well. So far, so good. So what does that mean? It means the growth is in exploitation, even though when we talk about skills, we very often are talking about the skills around creating and manipulating our technology. So my recommendation to you is to start to see yourself as much as a user, as a creator of technologies. And that requires a bit of flexibility on your part. Requires an openness to change and a willingness to try new things, and in many ways, a willingness to redefine yourself and who you are professionally. So don't be afraid of it, because that's where the opportunities lie. So, in summary, run like she runs. Don't run like me. Skill demand is transient. So be prepared to change. Job growth is in exploiting technology, not in creating or manipulating it. And your professional success depends on developing competencies that your business values. Okay, well, so what competencies are we talking about? Well, we've come up with 12 key competencies, and like much of what we do at Gartner, the information that we come up with is the result of thousands and thousands of CIOs and business leaders who have talked to us about what they need. So this is about us aggregating information and knowledge and sharing it with you. We kind of think of it in three big buckets. So bucket one are engagement competencies. So those are the things that are going to enable you to get to 10 new people tonight, right? It's about working with people. It's about communicating. It's about exerting influence and having a focus on results. And it's about managing relationships. Those are some of the most challenging skills for IT leaders to get their hands on. Judgment and analysis, analytic ability, decision making, prioritization, and process orientation. And I think that what you're going to see is that we're about half and half on that. As IT folks, we're pretty good at analytics stuff. Our decision making isn't necessarily all that it's cracked up to be. And then adaptability. And this is what kind of I've been pressing on a little bit at the beginning of our conversation, is you've got to be able to change. You know, at Gartner, we say, and we're certainly quoting some smarter person who said it before us, that the pace of change will never be slower, right? And if the pace of change is never going to be slower, your ability to survive is highly, highly dependent on your ability to adapt. So learning agility is a key skill. organizational awareness, understanding your business, your culture, your climate, your industry. It's critically important. And creativity. And, you know, I think a lot of times we don't necessarily see our jobs as creatives, especially when you work in an industry that is massively creative. You think, well, what are we? You're creative too. And that's a really important skill to bring up and understand in yourselves. Any questions so far? Comments? Thoughts? Yeah.
Where do you put things like emotional intelligence and empathy?
You know, you said that magic word. I used that word twice today in emails. I think that in primarily you'll see that a number of these skills combine to give the classic definition of emotional intelligence. The ability to manage relationships, the ability to exercise good judgment, to make effective decisions. Those will all be, if you go to the Daniel Goleman model, you'll see a lot of those in his writing. I think empathy is the ultimate definition of emotional intelligence. And it is, I would say, underrated as a competency. I think people think of empathy as a trait, and sometimes people think that traits can't be taught and can't be learned. And I disagree. I fervently believe that empathy will carry you further than any other competency, skill, or anything else in your professional life. So I think it would be great if at the tables today you take that conversation a little further and talk about empathy, because I think it's a really critical component of how you succeed as a human being as well as a professional. Yes.
Okay, I'll do this. As someone who would be trying to move into a new job, or if they're looking for a new job, I know some of their younger people here, how would they take these items and display them well on a resume? Would they just point them out specifically, or an explanation to show one of these traits?
That's a super great question. I think, so, okay, I'm going to take a step back. Do you ever notice how everybody says, that's a great question, and you're like, why'd they say that? You know, what's so great about the question? Is it a great question because I can't answer it, so I'm just going to, like, keep talking? and so I personally resist people saying that's a great question. The reason it's a great question in this instance is because I'm going to answer it. And that's that's always the best questions are the ones you have answers to. So what we're going to do in a few minutes is really tease some of these apart and talk about what they look like. And then I think once you know what the specific elements of that competency are, then what you can do is find a way to frame them. So I was having a conversation with one of my clients, and you guys probably don't know what I do. It's like the best job on the planet. So I was a CIO in a number of different places, and then I took this job at Gartner, and my title is executive partner or senior, something like that. Anyway, what I do is I work with a bunch of clients who are CIOs, and I just work with them on whatever they want to work on. So it's sort of like coaching, but it's sort of like a liaison with Gartner, but it's sort of like a buddy. And I love what I do because I tell people it's like being grandma, you know? So I can sit down with you and you can have this really thorny challenge with, you know, how are we going to, you know, move our digital strategy forward? And we can talk about that for 2 hours. And then I'm like, gotta go. Hope you sleep well tonight. Hope the little one doesn't keep you awake, because I'm going to bed. And so it's super fun. So anyway, I was talking to one of my clients today, because this particular client is competing internally for a job as the CIO in her organization. She is currently the deputy, but she's going to have to go through the whole recruiting process. So we talked a lot about how to get these competencies off of her resume and into her stories. And I'm sure that the recruiters are going to talk to you a lot about storytelling and the importance of knowing your stories and being able to tell them succinctly and effectively. So as you look at the competencies, as we take them apart, you need to think about how to match those competencies with your stories so that you can highlight them as you interview. Make sense? Okay, here goes the big green button. Oh, yes.
How do you quantify these competencies? So, for example, let's say that I have been employed in a particular job for 5 years and I have done more of this than someone else who's been in the same job for 20 years just because I've been faced with more challenging situations. When I go for my job interview, how do I explain that I'm more competent than that other person with 15 years under their belt just because I've dealt more, like with these situations more and I'm like, I actually exhibit the competencies more?
Well, you know, you raise a good point because I think we assume that people will understand that our years of experience translate into increased competency. And what, so if I go back to the person that I was coaching this afternoon, one of the things that they said was really important was innovation. They wanted somebody who could lead innovation. And so leading innovation is a competency. And so we talked about it, and she realized that, and not to divulge anything about her or her industry, but she realized that one of her jobs maybe 10 years ago was literally groundbreaking. And she'd never really thought about it before. And here she was thinking about, well, what have I done in the last 2 years to prove that I'm innovative? And so we went through her resume and we looked at some of the stuff, and she, by the time it was over, she went, oh my gosh, I thought I was making that up about being an innovator, but I really am. So I think look for the stories in your career that highlight exactly those kind of competencies that you want to share. And my guess is if you can describe and tell your story, you're probably going to do it better than the next guy. Okay, here they are. So each of these, I'm not a big fan of slide draining, but I'm going to read each of these aloud, and the reason I'm going to do it is because I want everybody to be to follow the bouncing ball and tell me, I don't know what that means, that is not clear, that sounds like the other one, I don't believe that, etc. Okay? So the first one is communication. And the competency that we're talking about here is being able to convey information to diverse audiences, orally and in writing, in a way that is easily understood and actionable. And I'm sure you've never seen a job description that says excellent communication skills required, because they never ask for that. This is a table stakes for anybody that's going to move up into leadership. One of the things I coach my clients on a ton is presenting to the board. That's a big part of what a CIO's job is. And you know the old joke about, like, you can tell the introverted CIO from the extroverted CIO because the extroverted one is the one that's looking at your shoes instead of his own. So people come up in this industry and they're not necessarily great communicators. It has to be learned. It's a learned competency. So you know how to talk. but it's how you talk, it's how you present that's going to make the difference. Decision making. This, I don't know if it, I can't remember where it stands on the how bad we are category, but I will say that organizations as a whole are just abysmal at decision making. And if you can get to be a good decision maker by using techniques and models and approaches, you will take yourself far. Influence. How are you able? Yes. Ah, that's a really good question. So I'm going to repeat it in case it wasn't loud enough. Oh, I said it was a good question. That was a terrible question, but I'm still going to repeat it. Okay. He wanted to know, do you measure the quality of decision-making by the process you followed to make the decision or the outcome that was the result of that decision? Is that a fair restatement? Okay. Opinions? Someone I don't know because I need credit. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really, I think very insightful. Yeah. So balancing the timeline or the process with the outcome. Really good, yeah. Okay. Well, I think, and my answer to you would be, if you have a good process, then the odds are your decisions on the whole will be better ones. And one of the things that I have in here, by the way, and again, you can all get a copy of the slides, is some exercises on how to make better decisions. And this happens to be an area I'm very passionate about. Okay, so exerting influence, learning agility. I think we kind of covered that one early on. You've got to be able to learn new things. You've got to be able to absorb them well. And generally, dealing with ambiguity. That's another popular one in job descriptions. Must deal well with ambiguity. It's true. Creativity. Okay, so this is, I'm sorry, yeah. So I think that's always a challenge. I think the whole interviewing process to get at these competencies is a whole another category of conversation. But I happen to have a document that Gartner has written about how to test for these competencies in an interview setting. So if you, there'll be two now. I'm going to be way ahead of you guys. I have two new friends already. But if you'll give me your contact information, I'll get it to you. Okay? Uh-huh. And anybody else who wants to pile on, just let me know if there's anything that you want. Okay. You want it all. Yeah. No, absolutely. Happy to share. Okay. So creativity, you know, being willing to look at things differently. Being willing to take a different path and challenge the status quo. Analytic ability. I think that most of us understand that this is an important competency. It's one that most IT folks are pretty good at. Business results. Understand what the business needs and how you're going to get them there. Organizational awareness. What is your culture? What is your world that you work in? What is the structure under which you work? How do you achieve success in your environment? Prioritization, I think that's fairly self-explanatory. Process orientation, we're all pretty good at that. That seems to be a strength of the technologist, but it's an important one. Relationship management, on the other hand, maybe not our best talent. And that's something that we can all work on. And I'll be honest, I think that we, as women, are notoriously better at relationship management than our men colleagues. And I think that if we bring that to work, it's going to help us to be tremendously successful. And not that the men don't have it, we are known for it. And finally, teamwork. This may be the world that the men are better known for, but teamwork is also an essential skill. Okay, so this is what we found by the numbers. And so what we found is, as expected, organizational awareness, I know what my job is, I know who I work for, analytic ability and process orientation, most people are competent at. Then we get to teamwork, prioritization, and business results orientation. We're getting weak. When we go to the right-hand side, there are serious gaps in these skill sets in our IT organizations. And so we kind of want to focus in that area. So for the next few minutes, and I only have a few minutes left, we're going to talk about those six in particular. And then at the end of this, I have a number of exercises that you can do with your These are employees who self-identified their proficiency on a scale of 1 to 5 for these skills. No, this is no gender, not in this data. I'd love to see it drill down, but in this data, this is men and women alike. Okay? So I thought we'd dig into the ones where we see less of those skills and talk more about what they are and how you can identify them and how you can work on them and how you can highlight them. So, exercising influence. So we see in each of these, I've got two or three elements to what we really mean here. So with exercising influence, we're talking about developing influence. So what I mean by that is that you become someone that has the ability to get your message across effectively. And you do that by the way you engage people, whether it's the way you communicate, the way you talk to them. Empathy is a big one here. But to be influential, you have to earn people's trust and you have to be believable to them, and then you can influence them. Structure your conversations so that you can engage with people better. So this is something that you can do within your control simply by setting up the right environments to connect with people, whether it's I go to coffee every Monday with the head of HR or whatever. And then finally, understand your stakeholders. I think this is a critical part of what we do, and it doesn't really matter what your job is. There are people that are impacted by your work every day. And if you know who they are and you know what they need, then you can influence them. Okay? Yeah. Listening is a huge one. And when you look at the communication, I think communication comes up in this next couple of slides, but that's a huge part because biggest part of communication, obviously, is listening. And that's critical because without being a good communicator, you can't be influential. Yeah. Well, there's a whole category of sales called the influencer sale, and it's a model of selling. So I do think that there's a great analogy between the two, between influencing and selling, and I think that really the only difference is what do you get out of it, right? Do you get, do you change behavior, or do you get paid? That, to me, would be the difference between influencing and selling. You're doing the same, very similar things, but the outcome you're looking for may be slightly different. It's really interesting. Well, I want to get the name of that. So see me after. That's four. I knew I could get to 10. I only have a few minutes left, though, so more questions. Okay, so managing relationships. Again, building trust is going to come up again and again and again. Challenging effectively. So this never happens. You know, you never have a disagreement with your coworkers. I haven't had one since 2 this afternoon. How you handle that is a key differentiator in your success. And I'll fess up to the one that was so under my skin today. I had a meeting last week. The meeting did not go the way it should have. I personally felt there was a particular individual to blame. And so, of course, set my fingers to the keyboard, and I started typing that email. You know, like you could see the smoke coming off my fingertips. And then I put my friend's name in the to box and hit the send button, because I will never, ever, ever send an email like that. And then I called my friend and said, just want to let you know what's coming. And then I reached back out with the email to the perp, and I said, could we get some time next week to talk about that meeting and do a little after action? And we had the meeting today. It was very effective. And that was one of the two times today when empathy came up. I can't say that I spent my whole life being smart enough not to send that email. But I can tell you that if I was still stupid enough, I wouldn't have a job right now. So I've learned something in this old body of mine. Virtual team development. So remote teams are going to be a critical part of everybody's work. I think most of you have had experience with that. Learning how to be effective working virtually is a true competency that's going to take you a long way. Yeah. Those dang millennials. Okay, boomer. You know, we spent so much time worrying about the millennials coming into the workforce, and now they own the workforce. And those of us in Gen X or the baby boom era are trying to navigate our way through. Here's what I would say. Ask them. There is nothing more engaging to me as an older, more experienced person than to have a younger person say, I think it would be helpful if we approach it this way. What do you think? And give yourself the opportunity to show your knowledge and at the same time that you're not pushing them out of the way. I think older people will respect your youth when you bring great ideas and you bring a sense of collaboration. Think from multiple perspectives. I really love this. This is something that I get a kick out of doing personally. But really try to approach problem solving in a unique fashion. Try to look at problems differently, and we got a bunch of exercises that you can do to facilitate this. This is one of the things I do a lot. I teach a lot of design thinking, and part of design thinking is really about creative ideation and the ability to come up with brilliant ideas and then converge them down into something useful. And so that's a real fun thing for me. Root cause analysis. Now, there's a tech skill that we've carried with us for a long time, and it is, in fact, a competency. And it's a competency that you use as much in your personal lives as you do anywhere else. But it's a critical one, and it remains critical in the complexity in which we work. And be a problem solver. So, effective communication. Where's my listening question? There's where listening really comes in. Y'all have heard of active listening. Exercise it. You know, practice that. And look, again, look for that. Keep in mind that a good part of this is cautionary tale to you for your own development. A good part of this is back to the question of how do I make sure I've got the right skills on my team? And so watching for this, developing this is important. Understanding communication styles. This is also very frequently a generational thing. And being adaptive to others' communication styles is an important part of being successful. And I will tell you, as, again, a member of the older part of the workforce, this has been a struggle for me sometimes. You know, we have a way that we were taught to communicate, a certain grammar that we used, a certain, demeanor, and that's not necessarily how people communicate coming from other places or other generations. Opening up your mind to that is critical. And, of course, make sure your messages are effective and well-received. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, first of all, it feels awkward the first time you do it, but it's actually a very effective thing to do. Asking people in general how they would like to engage is sort of a breath of fresh air. And, you know, like all these things, turn it on yourself. What would you do if somebody asked you that? You'd probably be flattered. You'd probably say, wow, you know, I'm super glad you asked. Yes, in terms of how should I best engage with you, this is a particularly great question to ask your boss. How often do you want to meet with me? What do you want to talk about when we get together? Do you prefer that I drop by your office or send you an email or make an appointment with your assistant, right? Those kind of clarity questions can really help you to be successful. I am woefully short on time, and I'm fine with that. I'm going to zip to the end here, and I will be here for a little bit more to answer questions and kind of be part of the action. But if I can go 1 minute over, Well, okay. So, okay, I'm good. Okay, so I'm going to skip the ones that we are reasonably good at, and we can talk through them. I just want to remind you that competencies are yours to develop, and they can be developed in your teams. So it's not something you're born with. I think one of the things that's really fun to do is to try to figure out what you're already good at. I don't know if you've ever done StrengthsFinder. That's an interesting tool for identifying your skills, what your competencies are. And there are plenty of online, I mean, you can do a BuzzFeed quiz and figure out which Disney character you're most like. But you can also have a 360. And those are painful, and yet if it's done voluntarily, you know, if you offer it, you could get some amazing feedback from people. And then don't try to be all things to all people. Look at what you think you'd like to work on, or look at what you'd like to work on with your team, and think about just advancing a competency or two. Try the exercises that are at the end of the presentation. Get a mentor. There's a mentoring program, I think, that you guys are putting together or have put together. So an excellent opportunity to be a mentor or have a mentor. Most of all, just keep growing. Keep learning, keep changing, and you will have a tremendously successful career. Okay? I'm done.
Thank you, Erin, very much. We really appreciate your time and your perspective. For the next part of our program, Karen's going to kind of wheel herself around. Karen just had surgery, so she's like in a cast and on a wheelchair, so we're not going up on the stage together.
I could crawl up, but it's not dignified.
It's not dignified at all. We were fortunate enough to get some assistance for this next section from professional recruiters and HR professionals who are in the kind of recruiting space. Can I ask the people who volunteered to join us today or got voluntold to raise your hands quickly? We've got a few of them here. What we're going to do is kind of a speed date with a debrief on this topic. So we want to focus on two things at our table discussions. We're going to have our recruiter friends spend 10 minutes at a table and then rotate around. I'm going to kind of ask you to roughly go around this way and hopefully hit some of the tables who don't have your peers at them. What I'd like you to do is, as a group, talk about kind of two or three topics. Number one, were there any surprises on that list in terms of either the big gaps or things you thought were missing? And then talk about the gaps, in particular the ones that Erin focused on in terms of the biggest gaps in technology skills. And talk about whether those resonate either with you personally or within your organizations. We will take 30 minutes, 10 minutes a pop to have those discussions. So Karen and I will put the timer on here in a minute. And then we'll do a group debrief, in part because we'd actually like your feedback on this as a way of gauging what competencies do you think are most important for us to help develop in our community. And we will use this to help drive some of the future topics that we include in our upcoming events. Karen, is there anything you would like to add to that?
No, that sounds about it. If there are tables without an HR person, just feel free to have the conversations amongst yourselves.
Okay. So given that, we've got, it's 43 minutes or was 43 minutes into our topic. We're going to take 10 minutes, open discussion amongst your tables, and then we'll signal everyone and let you kind of rotate around. Thank you.